The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you are gardeners? I see a few hands. Well, you know how to plant a garden, right? You may want to test the soil to see whether it's alkaline, neutral, or acidic, because most plants like a neutral pH level. And alkaline soils are most common in the central and southwestern United States. Such soil restricts a plant's ability to take in nutrients, such as iron. And so to balance the pH level, you add a soil conditioner, such as sphagnum, peat moss, or organic compost. And you add in any missing nutrients, such as nitrogen. You remove the rocks that would prevent plants from growing properly. And you would aerate the hard-packed soil. I remember my dad used to make his own aerator by hammering long nails into a board. He'd put the board down on the ground and step on it to drive the nails into the soil, and he would repeat that across the whole lawn until the whole yard was aerated. And the whole point is to make the soil optimum for the growth of what is to be planted, to yield the best harvest, the showiest blooms, the hardiest plants. And you might want to put a fence up and maybe a bird net in order to keep animals out of the garden. And then you determine how close the plants should be and the depth to which they should be planted. And so anytime I think of gardening, I do think of my dad. He always had the best looking yard and the most prolific garden in the neighborhood. He'd been raised on a farm, and he loved to spend his time outdoors among his plants. I remember how he would plant the various crops that he raised in the garden. My dad would mark distances with a string and then carefully make holes the right distance apart and just the right depth. He would then drop a seed or two into each of those holes, depending on what he was planting. Then he would carefully cover the seeds with dirt, patting the dirt down carefully. When all were planted, he would gently water the newly planted seeds. After they had sprouted and grown a bit, he would thin them out. He would weed the garden regularly to prevent the weeds from taking over. He kept earthworms in a raised garden area, and he would use worm casings and compost and old coffee grounds to give the plants the nutrients they needed. He would check his tomatoes for hornworms, which he would pull off and drown in a can he kept just for that purpose. So those of you who garden, does that sound familiar to you? Do you take care preparing your garden and planting your seeds so that you can have the optimum harvest? I see heads nodding. Then our gospel lesson today might make you shake your head in dismay. The one sowing the seed seems to have made no preparations for the garden. He hasn't cleared out the rocks or tilled the soil or made any attempt to figure out the best place to plant the seeds. He just starts scattering them everywhere. He seems to be wasteful. I have some volunteers. They've been pre-chosen. We're going to retell this story a little bit. Now, as I said, the sower in our story doesn't just gently hand a seed to each person. He throws the seed. Throw it. There we go. He scatters the seed everywhere. And it doesn't say anything about someone coming along and making sure that it's all planted, but we have someone who's going to come along and make sure each one of you gets one of these. He just scatters the seed. Did you scatter it everywhere? And that's what our sower did. Thank you. He just threw it everywhere. I'm going to ask you to open up your piece of paper. Because in our story, really, all the seeds are the same. This just seemed the most efficient way. We've got a couple of people over here. Ann and Buck don't have seeds. And so as we tell the story, open up your paper and you'll see what kind of soil you are today. Okay, and I want you to either stand up or raise your hand when we get to you, okay? Paul needs one if you have one for him. Okay. So a sower went out to sow, and we saw him do that. He just threw them everywhere. As he sowed, some seeds fell on the path. Who's the path? All right. And the birds came and ate them up. Now, why did the birds come and eat up the seeds that were on the path? Because they're there. Because the soil is so hard compacted that seeds can't penetrate it. So they're just lying on the top, and the birds come and eat it. What might happen in your life that you are a hard-packed soil? Lots of things. You're busy. You're stubborn. You're tired. And you just, nothing in you will allow that seed to penetrate down. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. I have some rocks out there. All right. On rocky ground where they did not have much soil and they sprang up quickly. But then what happens to them? Because why? They have no roots. So can you imagine what might happen in your life that would do that? Where you spring up quickly, but you don't have enough foundation. Poor parenting. Okay. Lots of things can happen. And others fell among thorns. So some thorns here. We have thorns. And the thorns grow up and choke them. What might be thorns would choke out what you hear? Same sorts of things. Negative people, busyness. And then other seeds fell on good soil. Where's my good soil? Lots of good soil. And what makes the good soil? Sometimes it is preparation. Our story may not have said that there was preparation, but I'll bet that Jesus was thinking of soil that had been cared for and prepared to hear the word. And I'm hoping that's what we accomplish in this congregation. The story that Jesus tells is a parable with a meaning beyond the story itself. The parable is not telling us how to plant a garden or a field. If it were, it would be really bad information. Instead, it tells us what? It tells us how God abundantly spreads the message about the coming of the kingdom and about how we should too. In a portion of the gospel that's omitted from today's reading, the disciples ask Jesus why he speaks in parables. You might think that he would answer that parables make his message easier to understand, but that's not what he says at all. Instead, he states that he speaks in parables because there are self-righteous ones who have hardened their hearts to what he is saying. He asserts that these ones have fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with the eyes and listen with the ears and understand with the heart and turn, and I would heal them," he adds. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And then he provides private instruction to the disciples, explaining to them the meaning of the parable, that the seed represents a word of God, and the soil represents those who hear the word. When someone hears the word of God's kingdom and does not understand it, the devil comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart, just as birds eat up seed scattered on the footpath. As for the seed sown on rocky ground, that represents those who hear the word and receive it with joy. And receiving the word with joy is a good thing. But for those hearers, the joy does not last. Because a person is not rooted in the word, when trouble or persecution comes, that person falls away. Without roots, a plant will wither and die. And as for the seed among the thorns, this person hears the word, but the cares of the world, the troubles that they encounter, the lure of wealth just chokes the seed, chokes out the word. Such people lose focus, turning their eyes away from God and becoming enticed by the things of the world that lead them away from the things of God, and they yield nothing. And as for what was sown on good soil, that represents those who hear the word and understand it, those who bear much fruit. And whatever kind of soil we are is constantly changing. Sometimes we hear God's word and just don't understand it, or understand how it is relevant to our lives or how to put it into practice. Sometimes a situation occurs that dampens our enthusiasm for following God's word. Sometimes the cares of the world choke out our good intentions. And sometimes we are open and eager to hear God's message of repentance and reconciliation, and our lives bear fruit. And you know what? God continues to sow the seed. It isn't a one-time thing. God continues to sow the seed. God has abundant seeds to spread, countless seeds, seeds beyond numbering, and many ways to spread those seeds. God knows that some will fall on good soil, where they will yield a great harvest, and God knows that some will not. The seed of God's word is spread on the heart, and it is not possible for us to know what is in another's heart. Sometimes the very hearts we think would be most receptive are not. And the ones we think would have no use for the word turn out to be the most fertile soil of all. Think of the many ways that you hear the word of God, both during and outside of worship. Think of the times when it has been hard for you to listen to God's word and to let it flourish in you. When there are so many rocks in your life that the word could not take root in you. When there were so many obstacles, not necessarily of your making, that kept you from bearing fruit. How many times was it hard for you to remove the rocks or pull out the thorns by yourself? When were the times you needed your family, your friends, and the church to help you remove those rocks and pull out those thorns? And look at the times when your heart has been good soil, when the word of God has taken root and borne fruit. We want to be good soil, to have the word of God grow and yield 100 or 60 or 30-fold. And when it does, how do we go about spreading our own seeds? Are we cautious about how we discuss God and our faith life? Do we test the soil first, approaching only those we think will be receptive to the message? Or do we follow the model of the sower, casting our seed without concern where it lands, knowing that some will not or cannot understand, that some will show enthusiasm that will die quickly, that others will lose their focus, and that some may have hearts that are good soil? We are trying to sow seed in the unpredictable soil of the human heart, which means we need to sow seed everywhere, scattering it generously and abundantly, helping as we can to remove rocks and thorns, and praying for the harvest. Amen.